It is good to have, Dave already mentioned the Minix with us. So we have our missionaries, the Bakers, down in Australia, and they're way up in the northeast section of Australia. Brother David Minnick has grown up there. His dad's been a missionary there. I'm putting this all together. They know my wife some, so I don't know what she's told them about me, but they decided to come anyway, so thank you. So that's great. David and Naomi and their kids, and so a joy to have them here. They're staying, I guess, several weeks down at First Baptist in Rockford at the mission home there. So praise the Lord, they can come up and say hello to my wife and say hello to us as well. We're rejoicing. He's planning to be back church planting in Australia, so as soon as the Lord raises their support and so forth, so be praying for them as well. You say, okay, how is he related to Mark Minnick, all right? Well, his dad is Mark Minnick's brother. There we go. So Mark Minnick is his uncle. There we go. I'll get it out right. So put that all together, make sure I say it right. Well, tonight, last night in this series, I thought we'd end. This would have been a passage I generally probably wouldn't have used in the whole series on the one another's of the New Testament. As you recall, many of the one another's in the New Testament deal specifically with our interpersonal relationships within the local church, how we are to care for one another, how we are to speak to one another, how we interact and serve with one another, serve each other and serve with each other. But this really is, in my sense, and I hope you'll enjoy it with me tonight, a wonderful little climax to the one another passage. It's the same Greek word that's used in this passage as it's used in all the other passages as well for the words one another. And so, highlight, we've studied through this passage as we've walked through Luke, and I think we hit this last October, I think is when I looked at my notes, saw that. But let's specifically look tonight at the one another and its implications for us as we consider our relationship with one another. Start in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. How often does not the Lord say those exact words as he appears to people? Fear not. A wonderful promise as he is with us. We may feel that we fail him. We understand at times his awesomeness and his greatness. And our heart wants to shrink from him. And God always says to his child, fear not. What a joy. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just for the Jews, but to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Messiah, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Remember, we've talked through that passage, and it's not my purpose tonight, but three nominatives, three nouns. He's saying this is what praise does, all right? It brings praise to God. It rejoices God's great goodness to us, rejoices. This is what salvation does, I should say. It brings praise to God. It brings peace to all those who will trust him. It brings God's favor, his goodwill towards us. What a wonderful blessing it is. So verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, here comes the one another passage. The shepherds said one to another. And now we don't have the full discussion. I'm curious to see how this all came about. Did the head shepherd start it? Or were they so giddy and so excited that they all talked at the same time? If it was at my house, I would tell you what would happen. Drew would start. Dory would chime in, all right? And then mom and dad would say, calm down, let me think about it for just a second here. But they started talking with one another. And what did they talk about? Well, the scriptures give us some clues here. So the shepherds said one another, middle of verse 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. Now, the word thing here is the word that we often can translate word. This specific word that was just given to us. So it's not a thing. This is an amazing prophecy that their eyes have been opened to, and they say, we've got to know the word that the Lord gave us. this was an act of wonderful faith on their part. So let us go and see and know this thing, this word, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Another actual critical phrase here, indicating their passion and love for what the Lord was doing, their excitement and joy, of course, too. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. To us, the instruction of the angel that you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger seems like, well, that's a big help. You know, where's my GPS? Could you give me an address, please? We don't know exactly why is it, what was distinct about that instruction. It doesn't, the narrative here doesn't seem to give us any clue that the shepherds wandered about for a while. No, it's like they knew almost where they were going. They came with haste. They were hurrying. And it's like they kind of had a clue, the big clue. I mean, the angel told them where to find them. Obviously, we've talked about the scene. Could it have been in a cave, in a stable? It more than likely was in an attached house that was the barn, if I can put it in modern vernacular. And that manger was made out of stone or a type of concrete. And they had put bedding in it and cleared out the barn. The whole family was in the rest of the house so that Joseph and Mary could probably have some privacy. I suspect at least Mary was really grateful. Right? And here they are in a warm place. Well, the cattle are around. That's a great place to stay warm at night. Keep the baby warm, all those things. It's in many ways a wonderful place. And yet it was an unusual place for sure to find a baby. Usually you found grain in the manger, not a baby. And so they found the baby, and they found the baby lying there in a manger. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, all right, now notice it, pay attention. So they had heard the word. They came with haste to see and to know what the Lord had done. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, when she heard it, if I can put it that way, to help you understand, this is why she's brought up here. She's heard what the angels have told the shepherds and the shepherds have told her. She's not just contemplating that the shepherds came. She's contemplating the word of the Lord here. But Mary kept all these, and by the way, there's that word again, things. Mary kept all that word and pondered those words in her heart. She was meditating on the very words of God. So we easily at the Christmas story get all wrapped up in the emotion. What is it about Americans and Christmas? It's not a bad thing, but we forget the stability or the foundation of our great joy. And it's the very declaration of God's word. So we have a right interpretation of the events. Mary's not interpreting them. The shepherds aren't interpreting them. God did. God did. So then what happens? Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying. So here we are all together again, all right? So they spoke to one another, the beginning of the passage, verse 15. Now they're back together again, and they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen. Notice, heard and seen. Right order there. They heard about it, knew the right interpretation, went and saw and verified their faith was sight, and it was as it was told unto them. Again, the word praise here is the same word that we find earlier in the passage where the angels were praising God. And often that term is used in singing. It's the same, you can translate it, they were singing praise to God. Again, this is one of those, I want to know. So did those shepherds sing in tune? Or was it just a bunch of men out there barreling away, they were just praising God for what they had seen and heard? Either way, it was a joyful sound. They were praising a great God. So, look at our notes. As we speak to one another, like the shepherds, we need to be careful to have the focus and fruit. And I say those two words on purpose. So as I jump into a conversation with a brother or sister in Christ, I need to have these points as my focus. But these should also be the result of my conversation with you. So I go in with these points, as we'll see here in a moment, on my heart and mind. We should not ever enter into a conversation glibly, lightly. I realize we relax and so forth in the home, but when we're gathered together as saints, our time here is really, frankly, limited, isn't it? Consider all the hours of the day, and we, and striving to obey our Lord and assembling together, we come together and our conversation should be about some very important things. And our focus and attention should be, by the way, moms and dads in your home, you have conversations with your children all the time. Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11 make it abundantly clear that a much of our training of our kids happens in the normal day-to-day conversation that we have with our children. It's not like you sit down, all right, you're going to sit down here, you're going to sit here for an hour and I'm going to teach you all the things about the Bible tonight. Most of the time, the kids don't have the patience for that. And so, when I walk by the way and when I'm sitting down and when I'm rising up, that's when I talk about the Lord. My conversation's on purpose. You never know when that teaching moment comes up. The same thing among us. Like the shepherds who spoke to one another, who said to one another, our conversation should have some very important focuses and, Lord willing, then fruit in our lives. So what are they? Well, number one, as we look at verse 15 and 16 again, our conversation should help each other pursue, there's your blank, pursue the truth. So as they see the angels and glorify the Lord, then they acted upon it. Let's go see. And the word see there is to see in order to know. They wanted to know the actual reality of the message that they had received. They wanted to pursue the truth. Now, it's a very wonderful picture, visual for us here. But they had been told truth, and what was their reaction? Let's go see it. I want to experience and know it. As we have conversations with one another, let us help each other pursue truth. Tonight, as we leave here, what are you going to talk about? Maybe a rehearsal of what we've just looked into in God's Word might be appropriate as you walk out the door. Or maybe on your way home in the car, you're talking with the kids. What did we learn tonight? It has been our habit and routine, frankly, long before Abby was in the family, right? We often, on purpose, talked with our children about what we learned at church that day. So, watch out, teachers, I'm getting stories. Anyways, okay. All right. But they were good, and we rejoice in it. And it was always a delight as the children would grow up, and we're starting to see it now. Dory's brain is turning on a little bit, so she can actually remember what happened and transpired in junior church or Sunday school. And we talk about those things. Of course, all the little papers or whatever. She's our little artist, and so the story usually is wrapped up around the picture. That's a great thing. But those are important things because then they are continuing to pursue the truth. How are we going to live this out in our life? What can we do about it? So these shepherds, after they conversed with another, concluded we need to go find and see what the angels have told us. They are pursuing truth. And so, obviously, they came with haste. And that's where I really get the word pursue. There was no delay and there was no doubt. The Lord had come. The angels had proclaimed that he was there. Well, the most appropriate thing to do if the Messiah is here is to go. Let's go worship him. And without a doubt, the narrative doesn't give us any clue that they doubted or wondered, is this really true? What did I just see? It was as if this was all supposed to be that way. Now, we've talked about this before. When we get to heaven, will you be surprised when you see Jesus? You say, well, I've never seen him before. What's he going to look like? Will you know him so well that it won't be a surprise? Oh, there will be some things we don't know for sure. They haven't been revealed. But I shouldn't be surprised at my Savior. I have the very Word of God. I can know him really well. Study the Word of God. Know him better. And the same thing here. It seems as though they were fearful at first. You know, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So there was, I mean, this was unusual. But their response of faith demonstrates that when they understood that this was from the Lord, oh, we know the Lord, and we know we were looking for the Savior. This is the most exciting day of our life. And they responded in faith, and they hastened. No doubt. Where's that baby? Where's that baby in a manger? May our conversations cause us to help each other trust the Lord and obey and follow Him. That there's no doubt that the truth is being lived out in our life. So help each other. Hasten each other along the way in our walk of faith. Let's go on to that second point. Verses 17 to 19. Our conversation should help each other proclaim the truth. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. I've said this before, but let's say it again, right? It's very appropriate. The shepherds weren't picky about who heard the message. They weren't picky about who heard the message, but they were picky about what was heard. All right? What they had heard and now just had seen, they had the right interpretation of facts. That's what they proclaimed. You see, the truth was clear so that those they told were amazed at the truth. They wondered. And again, we've pointed this out as we've been walking through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings. One of Luke's favorite phrases or ideas is God's wonder and amazement. That as God reveals Himself, shows Himself to be deity, it continues to make those that see it and know it absolutely amazed. As you proclaim truth, is your God great to those who hear you proclaim the truth? Let's not be picky about who hears. May we tell everyone, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But let us be careful to proclaim the truth. Proclaim it rightly, interpret it rightly and well. If we can have some imaginative fun for a moment, what would have happened had the angels not helped interpret who this child was to the shepherds? Well, number one, they wouldn't have gone into town that night. Come on, it's nighttime. It's ready to go to sleep. A couple of us stay awake to watch the sheep to keep the wolves away. But the rest of us are kind of resting, all right? So they wouldn't have gone. They wouldn't have known. And had they seen Mary and Joseph, the only oddity would have been, wow, that poor family. They had to put the baby up in the manger. That's a little unusual. Would it have hit the Jewish tabloids of the day? Baby discovered in manger. But that would have been a wrong interpretation, wouldn't it have? That the baby was discovered in the manger has nothing to do, well, I guess it, nothing, but it has no great implications. All it was a clue to find the baby. Who was the Messiah? That was the great truth. You see, we live in a world that is being interpreted all the time. It's called the media. I mean, they have perfected their job so well that they will interpret it just in the title of the article. They're already giving you clues of what they want you to know about whatever happened. You'd think in the day where video is so prominent, we can see it all, that we'd all be able to interpret it the same way. Well, that's not true. Look at where our country's at right now. A multitude of different interpretations about the same video people see. Which one is true? Well, as we live our life out in this world, let us be careful to give them the truth of God's word. That's the only thing that's true. The only thing. And so we look at our life and we look at the world and we look at the offer of salvation through the lens of God's word only. God has told us all that we need for life and godliness, hasn't He? So proclaim it. let others know that what the truth is, how to interpret life, and most importantly, how to interpret where they're heading for eternity. Let's be about that. Proclaim that. Now, encourage each other. This, obviously, we talk about a conversation among ourselves, all right? They spoke to one another. Again, one of the things that we often struggle with among Christians is when somebody is struggling with a problem, a sin, and we don't know what to do about it. Well, is it my place to say anything? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. You see, we are all sinners, saved by grace as believers, but still growing in grace. And so I need to be careful to proclaim truth in my conversation. Take the word of God and apply it to the trouble in that saint's heart and life. And don't be afraid to give them the truth. You want, what is real love? Real love is giving truth, not tolerating their sin. So help one another. No, don't make it bigger than it is, but don't make it littler than it is either. Proclaim truth. Finally tonight, I should maybe hasten as well. We talked about Mary hearing those words. I'm still under point number 2 of verse 19. She kept all those things. She treasured what she heard from the shepherds. Here's a saint that was already attuned to what God was doing. And the words of the shepherds interpreted to them by the angel was something that was a treasure to her. So she kept it. She treasured it. Your words of proclaiming truth to a fellow believer can become a great treasure to their heart. As we go through trials or challenges or something that's unusual in our life, difficulties, that you come alongside and share the word of God with them can provide a wonderful treasure to their heart, lift them up, and be a source of meditation. She pondered them in her heart. Be a source of meditation for that believer. So don't be shy to give the word of God. Don't be shy. Finally, our conversation number 3 should help each other praise our God. I guess if we wanted to try to keep the structure of the outline perfectly balanced, praise the God of truth, if we want to put it that way, since we have truth in the other 2 points. But the reality is God is truth, and so we just praise our God. And that's what the shepherds did in verse 20. They glorified, they made known God's worth and magnified and extolled him. Obviously, this was a watershed moment in the life of those shepherds. One day, I suspect, when you meet those shepherds in heaven, they're going to want to tell you about the night the angels came. And what will it do? What will it do? Just like they went back to the fields and they couldn't help themselves. They're singing praise to God. They're glorifying God. You'll want to praise God with them. As we walk through Scripture, why is it that God shares a lot of the highlights? It's like, Lord, my life is all dull. You know, nothing great happens in my life. Hang on, all right? God shares those highlights because those are moments to praise God. Why is it today that even though the Jewish nation's eyes are blinded, do they still celebrate the Passover? Pretty amazing work of God, isn't it? Why, to connect a little bit. Why in America do we celebrate the 4th of July? That was a pretty amazing event. And its aftermath and our freedom, right? That's worthy of celebration 250 plus years later. Should not we take the time as we walk through Scripture and see God's great works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? So let us take the time to praise God in our conversations. What happens, will you forgive me, ladies? I'll pick on you for a minute, all right? The guys can do it a little bit, but they have a tendency to talk about cars and, their jobs and so forth. Every once in a while, the ladies, you get together and you start talking about all the bad things that are going on. and you, I can't believe. And there's this, the conversation goes, and you walk away and you're all down in the doldrums and life's terrible and bad. Now, I hope that doesn't happen too much for you, but I know that it can be a spiritual tendency on any of our parts just because we're sinners, all right? Try to leave every conversation so that that person you're walking away from is praising God. And you'll have had a beneficial conversation. You say, can you do that even when things are, honestly, Pastor, really bad? I think you can. You get their eyes on God and not their problem, and how God can help them through their problem or through their struggle or give them wisdom to make the right decision. And they can walk away even from that conversation dealing with a hard subject praising God. So speak to one another so that you will help each other praise God. Maybe even to the great extent that they walk away and start singing praise to God. Wouldn't that be something? You should put a song in their heart if you can. So God did great work, gave the word to the shepherds. They, in faith, hastened. In their conversation, they helped each other do what was right. They told anybody who would hear, but they told them the right interpretation of the events. And they caused their heart to simply rejoice in their God. They brought great praise to God. I think God was pleased with what happened that night. The shepherds did God's will. And may that be true of us in our conversations. May we find ourselves helping each other, pursuing truth, proclaiming truth, and praising our God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the sweet example of these shepherds. Though the phrase they said to one another is just really a phrase that just points out that they conversed, and yet it's amazing to see what happened in that conversation and where it led them and how it ended. Lord, may we be found in our conversations, especially among ourselves, but then as we think of truth and proclaiming it to the world, may we be always helping one another pursue truth in what we say and how we encourage the pursuit of truth. Lord, may we be careful even when it's hard and when we might be afraid that the reaction may not be good. May we be careful to proclaim truth. People need to know the right interpretation of life and the Word of God. Lord, use us to even share the gospel. May we not be picky about who we tell truth to. And may our conversation so end that it causes us, as well as the person we're conversant with, to praise God. And Lord, that will be a profitable conversation, a God-honoring conversation. So, Lord, thank you for the time that we've been able to study a number of these relational passages together as we interact, serve, love, speak to one another. Help us to live these out in a daily basis and especially among our church family here. In your name we pray. Amen.